Aren't you glad you're saved today? I'm glad this morning that I know that I'm a winner either way. If God permits me to stay, I'm a winner. And if God sends His angel after me, I'm still going to be a winner. Like Paul, sometimes, you know, we get betwixt two opinions. Apostle Paul said, I'm sort of mixed up here. I'm between two opinions here, two decisions. I need to make one. Paul said, I know which one I'd be the best for me. That's if I just die and go be with the Lord. Then on the other hand, he said, if the Lord wants me to stay, then it'll be for your benefit. So we are winners. If we're saved today, we're winners. If we stay saved. Stay on the journey. This morning, this message will sort of go along with Brother Larry and the Sunday school time this morning. If you look with me over in 1 Kings chapter 18, we'll read a little bit, and if the Lord comes, then we will share with you. So when you find this, stand with us and let's realize that we are in the house of the Lord. And I believe He's here this morning. How many believe that?
Amen.
So we're in His presence. So let's reverend Him this morning. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20, the Bible said, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye upon the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Heavenly Father, we bow this morning as humbly as we know how, Lord, as we stand, God, in your presence this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Sunday school hour. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful song, God, that's been sung. Father, we thank you for the word now that's been read. And I pray, God, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will just come upon us all here this morning. I pray, God, that you will visit each pew this morning, each heart on every pew this morning. And Lord, just stop by, visit with them, and just let them let you know whether they're right or whether they're not. Father, I believe there's people here today as they was back in the days of Elijah. They're halted between two opinions today. They really don't know where to serve Satan or serve the Lord, to serve God or the world. Father, I pray this morning, if there's one here this morning, God, that's between these two opinions this morning, I pray, God, that something might be said this morning or something might be done. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will just open up, God, there, and let you come in this morning and solve that problem that you have. Father, we thank you this morning for the many blessings, Lord, that you've blessed us with. the many blessings, Lord, that we're blessed with even today, God. We thank you, Lord, for the church. We thank you, Lord, for those that's come this way today to be part of this service. We know, God, every service is recorded in heaven. So, Lord, I just pray this morning that we all this morning will be obedient, Lord, unto your voice. We ask, Lord, to be with us now, lead us and guide us and direct us. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. And God's people all said, amen.
Amen.
As I was reading this, of course, there's a lot to it, and I know the time will not allow to preach all of it, but what had happened here, the Bible said that Ahab, the Bible said over in chapter 16 in verse 33, the Bible said that Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So we see here this morning what had took place. Ahab had married another king's daughter, which Ahab became the king after his father. But he had married a woman that they call a Jezebel. Has anybody ever heard about Jezebel? Does anybody know what a Jezebel is? There's more than just one Jezebel, according to the Bible. Amen. There's Jezebel back then, and there's still Jezebels today. But it's one that will provoke God, one that, you know, is a mean, mean woman. Now, I've said a long time, you know, you get a mad woman, then you've got a mean woman, and I don't want to be around too long. Amen. I'm telling you, when things gets hot around my house, and I'm not saying I've got a Jezebel, huh? But I'm saying when things gets right around my house, I know when to leave. Amen. I know when to pack up and move on for a little while. But Jezebel, she, after Ahab had married her, the Bible said that she had changed him over, or allowed her and her father to change him over, to be a pagan worshiper also, and other things. In other words, the Bible said, when you read about it, the Bible said that Mount Carmel, that they used to be altars set up there around Mount Carmel, and the Bible said where people would go and worship the God Jehovah. But after they had took leadership there of Israel, the Bible said that Jezebel had them to tear down all the altars of God and build a bunch of altars of pagan worship. Pagan worship is just false worship. It's devil worship is what it is. And so the people went there, and the Bible I just read to you said that Joab provoked the Lord and the anger more than all of the other kings of Israel. So he was a very, very mean man himself. I mean, they would just kill you, you know, or have you killed. And this is what had happened. The Bible said that Jezebel had her own false prophets, amen, that prophesied falsely and worshiped the pagan gods. And so the Bible says she had them to kill the prophets, you know, of the living God. And the Bible said that old Elijah, you know, God spoke to Elijah and said to Elijah, he said, you tell them that it's going to be a famine. I'm going to pray, or I want you to pray, Elijah, and tell Ahab and Jezebel that there'll not be any rain for, I believe it was 3.5 years. And the Bible said that he done that, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And the Bible said Jezebel wanted to kill him. So if you find in reading the scriptures that he ran for his life, God told him to get up and get out of that land, and he sent him down by Jordan, down there where there was a cave at. And the Bible said it came to pass that the famine was great in the land. You take, if it didn't rain for 3 or 3.5 years here in Adair County, what would the cattle do? A lot of people got cattle, but 3.5 years of a drought, I mean, there wouldn't be any grass out there. Hey, man, the streams, a lot of these streams and branches would dry up in a time that long. And so that's what had happened there. And the Bible said, but God said to Ahab, or said to Elijah, go down there, and I'll tell you where to go. Get him down to a cave, and the Bible said at the cave there by Jordan that there was a little stream of water, cool water there at Shabar, and the Bible said that's where that old Elijah housed up for approximately 3 years. The Bible said that the ravens, the bird brought him meat and bread in the morning, and meat and bread in the afternoon, and he drank out of the brook. So here when other people was drying up, their cattle was dying, their crops was dying, when everything else there, of the pagan gods, when they started drying up, then old Elijah, hey man, he had it made. He laid back in the cool of the day in the cave. They knew that they was going to bring him food of the morning and food of the night. But you know, the Bible said one day, even that little stream dried up. And the Bible said, Ahab called his servant of his house. I believe he called him the captain of his household. In other words, Obadiah, he was a servant to Joab and his wife Jezebel. And he called him out one day, and he said, look, he said, we've got to find some grass. We've got to find water. And just maybe, perhaps, then all of our cattle, all of them will not die. And so Ahab told Obadiah, he said, I tell you what, he said, you go that way, and I'll go this way, and then we'll meet back here. And the Bible said that they led out one way and one the other way. And the Bible said the way that Obadiah went, he looked and he seen old Elijah. You see, God had told Elijah, he said, it's time to get out of this cave. Hey, man, it's time to get back to the business of God. And he said, I want you to get out of the cave and go back over to Israel and meet Ahab. And the Bible said that he left the cave, and on the way to meet Ahab, the Bible said he met Obadiah. And he told Obadiah, he said, go tell your master that I want to meet him this day. And Obadiah said, man, what are you talking about? He said, if I go and tell Ahab, my master, that you want to meet him, and then he come to meet you, and the Spirit of the Lord God pick you up and take you away like he did before, he said that he's going to kill me because you think I lied to you. He said, no, he said, I will meet him. And so the Bible said Obadiah went back and told Ahab that where he would meet him at, and Ahab went out, and the Bible said they met. And in verse 15 there, it said a little more about it, and Elijah said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto them today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel. He said, we're going to settle this, so to speak, once and for all. We're going to see who God is. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this morning, friends, I've read the book from cover to cover a number of times, and I've never read not one time in it where God Jehovah has ever lost a battle. Amen. I'm glad this morning. I don't know about you, but I know about me, Brother Bill. I'm glad this morning. Praise God that I'm on the winning side. And if you're on the winning side, then you're on the side of the Lord. And so the Bible said, he said, I want you to go gather all Israel, and I want you to meet me at Mount Carmel, and we're going to settle this thing. And so Ahab went, and he said he got 400, Jezebel has 450 false prophets. You bring all of her prophets. I want to see all of them there. And the Bible said he went and told Jezebel, and they all the 450 prophets, and all the nation of Israel, they gathered there at Mount Carmel. And the Bible said when they met there, that's where Elijah said that Ahab sent it to all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together to Mount Carmel. And Elijah came into all the people and said, how long shall ye halt between two opinions? You know today, friends, how long are we going to halt between? You may have been coming to church all of your life, and you're still stuck right in the middle. You don't know where to serve God or serve the world. I want to tell you today, if you listen to the voice of God, he'll help you make up your mind. Amen. If you have chosen to follow the Lord, then you've chosen the right way. But if you fail to follow Baal, so to speak, or the world and the pleasures of the world, you're going to lose the battle in the end. Amen. You might say, well, I'm doing all right today. You make the day you better worry about. It's the hereafter that you're going to spend in eternity. There's people today sitting in churches, somebody passing the door to buy. And let me tell you, friend, there are people today, it's just like they was back in the days of Israel there, in the days of Joab. They're sitting in the church trying to make up their mind. Now, do I want to get saved and be a Christian, or do I want to just keep on going the way I'm going? I want to tell you, friend, if you're one of them, the day is the day, amen. The day is the day that you need to make up your mind and not be halted between two opinions. You just need to make a choice today. I'm going to follow the Lord, amen. And he said here, he said, how long shall I halt between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, then let's follow him. And if Baal be your God, then let's follow him. That's what the Lord is saying to his people today. If you're going to follow me, then follow me. If you're going to follow the world and be of the world and like the world, then be that way. Don't stay hauling between two opinions. Amen. He said in 26 over Matthew, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. A lot of people today, church, is trying to serve two masters. You can't do it. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'll just tell you plain out. Some people want to serve the Lord on Sunday and want to serve the world the rest of the week. It ain't going to work, people. That don't work that way. You're either on the Lord's side or you're against the Lord. Amen. We need to make up our mind, church, which side that we're on today. You know, the most miserable people in the world, and I've met a lot of them, Brother Larry, in my time of ministry. Amen. And the most miserable of these people that there is a church pretender. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. I said that's the most miserable people they are, is a church pretender. You say, what are you talking about, a church pretender? They go to church, they pretend to be this, but on the other hand, they're that. I want to tell you today, friend, if you ain't made up your mind which one you're going to serve this morning, and if you ain't made up your mind it's going to be God, then don't come tell me that you've got all the joy of the Lord in you and all the peace of God. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, Jesus said in John 15 or 14, he said, the world don't have any peace to give you. Amen. He said, I'm the only one that has that peace. So if you're sitting here pretending to be a Christian and you're not a Christian, amen, man, then you're most miserable. You know why? These pretenders, they can put on a show outwardly, but inwardly, they're struggling, hey man. Inwardly, they're hungry, hey man. Inwardly, they're hungry when they see a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled Christian, and they see the joy and the peace that they have in their heart. They are jealous down deep, and they're sitting there and listening to the devil trying to decide, do I want to keep on going this way, or do I want to receive the joy and peace that the Lord has to offer this morning? Amen. There's joy in the Lord this morning. Amen. I don't care what kind of storm you may be going through. I don't care what you may be facing today. If you're a Christian, if you will just stop and listen a little bit, no matter what comes your way, I don't care what it is, if you have Jesus, then you've got a peace instilled in you that the world can't take away. Amen? The world can't take it away. When all the world, you might feel like all the world is standing against you, you might feel like mom and dad has deserted you. You might feel like grandma and grandpa don't want you around anymore. Feel like the church are not welcome that. You might feel like the pastor, hey man, is hammering on you every time you go. Well, let me tell you something, friend. In all, down deep, if you know you've got Jesus, they ain't nothing can turn me around this morning. Hey man, I said the devil can't give me nothing this morning that will want me to turn around and go back to where the Lord felt me at in 1983. And old Elijah said here, all he said, today is a day. He said, you need to choose here this day. You know, the Bible said over in the book of Joshua over there, when they was on their journey and after old Moses died, and some people were turned against Joshua and Israel and some did, and he drawed a mark out in the ground there, and he just put it to the people. He said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He said, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can anybody say amen today? It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so that's the way we need to have our mind made up. He said, so if you're going to serve the Lord, then step over here. If you're going to serve the world, then just stay over there. Elijah said. He said, you need to make up your mind. And you know, and if you're going to serve God, then serve Him. And if you're not, then serve Baal. And so the people, the Bible said, the people was a lot like you people here this morning. The Bible said the people didn't say a word. You know, when you get right down to the nitty gritty, people get awful quiet. Hey man, when you get right down then to the Word of God, a lot of people get awful quiet, Brother Bill. But he just gave them a choice. He said, you need to make up your mind. He said, but here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to put my God to the test. And he told Ahab, Jezebel, he said, you bring your prophets and let them put their gods to the test. And he said, every who wins, then let them be God. All right? So the people spoke then. What was the people said? They spoke then, and he said, and they said, it is well spoken. In other words, all right, we want to see what your God can do, and we want to see what the prophets of Baal, the false gods, can do. So Elijah said, all right, so here's what we're going to do. So bring us two bull off, to bring us two bull. And they brought them. He said, there's 450 of you people, you prophets, he's 450. He said, I'm standing here alone, just me as a prophet. He said, so it's going to take me a while to dress mine. It would take one man a long time to dress out and cut up a big old beef, wouldn't it, so to speak. He said, so y'all just go ahead and go to work on it and build your altar. He said, when you get yours all cut up and ready and get your altar built, he said, then you put it on there. And he said, then you call out to God. He said, don't start no fire under it. He said, you just call out to your God. And he said, let him start it. With a fire. All right. So the 450, they made them cut their bull up, skinned it, cut it up, put it on their altars out there. And the Bible said, when they got it all finished for him, the Bible said they began to cry out. He said, all right, call upon you, God. And they began to call out to their God. And the Bible said they called from morning to midday at the sacrifice time. They cried out, and they cried out for their God to come and start the fire. But you know what happened? Nothing. Exactly. And listen to what old Elijah said. Old Elijah, he's cleaning his bull. He's getting it ready. Amen. But don't you know he was sitting over there and he was watching all of these 450 prophets of Baal? Don't you know he was sitting over there watching them saying, man, what a fool y'all are. What a fool y'all. How in the world is a God going to start a fire if he ain't no God, ain't a living God? They can't do it. Dead person can't do anything. Amen. And the Bible said, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking or he is pursuing, coming, or he is in a journey or perhaps, peradventure, perhaps your God's asleep. He says, maybe he's asleep and you just must wake him. Well, holler louder. Wake him up. Wake up your God. Here he is sitting here making fun of him. Amen. And the Bible said, and they cried aloud, began to cut themselves after the manner with knives and lashes till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regard it. And Elijah said unto all the people, all right, y'all had a half a day to do it now. Here they was done a bleeding. They had done cut themselves anger, you know. Ain't that just like the devil? The devil will try to kill you if he can. He said, all right, you've had your chance now. Get out of the way. They tore the altars down. Well, they jumped up and down on them. They cut themselves and blood. He said, get out of the way. So he went and he prepared the altar and he put 12 stones around it representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Here all these people were looking. They're probably thinking, well, if 450 prophets can't do nothing, how do you think you're going to do something? He wasn't going to do it, amen. He's going to call upon his God to do it, amen. That's what we need to do when we get in a situation we can't do nothing about. We need to forget about everything else and just call upon the living God. Amen. And the Bible said that he built the altar. Then he cut up his meat and he put his meat on it. These old prophets are standing back there probably trying to dry up the blood on their swords and all. Saying, what does that little man think he's going to do? But he took it a little bit step further. He wanted to really prove to them what a God he served. And the Bible said when he got it on there, he ordered them. Said, come. So bring, I believe it was 4 barrels of water, was it? And said, pour on the offering, on the sacrifice. Pour on the wood. And he brought it. He said, bring another. And then he brought another. And bring another. And he brought another. Bring another. And he dug a trench around it. And the Bible said that the wood was wet. The altar was wet. The meat was wet. And the Bible said it's just like a mud hole around it. And the Bible said the trench was even full of water. And you hear these people standing back saying, there's no way, there's no way that he's going to ever start that fire. Amen. But the Bible said he got back and he cried out to God Jehovah. And you know what happened? The Bible said, hey, man, I'm about to have a spell here. The Bible said when he started calling out to his God, Brother Rick, the Bible said that there was fire came down from heaven. And the Bible said that it licked up the water, it dried out the meat, it burned up the sacrifice, it burned up the wood and the water around it. The Bible said that it even slicked that up, the flame of fire did, and it all dried out. Hey, man, and the Bible cried out. And the Bible cried out a paraphrasing now. And I believe here old Elijah was standing over there. And probably the 450 sharing of the false prophets couldn't do nothing but just harm themselves. And here one little man cried out to his God. And they was probably standing there all in all, you know, and Ahab was running. Well, maybe I ought to be the one on the run right now. And the Bible said them prophets are standing there, and they said, let God be God. Amen. That's what we need to do today, church. We just need to let God be God. Amen. We just need to realize, as long as we're in these bodies of flesh, and in this old world that we live in, we're going to come up against battles. Amen. We're going to come up against situations. I come up against them all the time, Brother Bob. I don't know which way to turn. And that's when I learned to find me an old altar somewhere, and I remind God. Now, you know, well, you don't have to remind God. God wants you to remind Him, because when you remind God of what God said, then that gives God more faith in you that you believe in Him, or you wouldn't be calling upon Him. And I'm going to tell you, I believe my God can do anything this morning. Amen. The Bible said in Luke 1:16, the Bible said with God, all things are possible. People sitting in church today, they'll be hearing this on the radio and all, they'll say, well, that preacher is crazy. Whoever heard of anybody starting a fire just for praying to God? I'm going to tell you something. He won't only burn up the wood, lick up the water, but if you will give your heart to Jesus and follow Him, He'll start a fire in you. Amen. I said He'll start a fire in you, and the devil can't put it out. The devil can't put it out. The Bible said them old prophets are standing over there, and Elijah sort of lost it then. He said, take them down there, and he said, kill every one of them. Kill every one of them. You say, well, that was revenge. No, that was God. You don't mess with God today, church. You can argue with Him all you want to. You can accuse Him all you want to. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You may try to compromise with God. You may offer God a deal. Let me tell you something. God don't deal unless it's on His own terms. Amen. People will say, well, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. If you'll do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. A lot of people don't want God to deal with them, and they don't want to deal with God as long as they're up on the mountain and everything's going all right, Brother Rick. As long as the bills is paid, amen, food in the refrigerator, TVs are working, ours are working, heats are working, cars not giving them no trouble. They don't have time for God. But you let the world come crashing in on them, and then who do they start calling out to? Start calling out to God. There's one deal God will make with you this morning. One deal God will make with you this morning. If you will listen to His voice and you will come this morning and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, God has done said, I'll stand at the door and knock. Amen. He's done said, if you seek me, you can find me. He said, because I stand at the door and I knock. And he said, if you will open, he said, I'll come in. He said, I'll sup with you. You can sup with me. I'll be your God. And you can be my children. That's the deal. God said, if you will come and ask me to forgive you of your sins, I will do it. I will do it. No other way that you're going to get rid of your sins until you bring them to Jesus and let Jesus have them. And he says, here's the deal. He said, I will come in and I will be Lord. He said, I will give you, I'll trade you, I will give you eternal life for your sins. My goodness, what a deal this morning. What a deal this morning. That's what he told me one day at that sawmill, Larry. He said, here's the deal I'll make. He said, if you'll just give me your sins, I'll give you the promise of eternal life. That was back in 1983. Oh, God, I made a lot of bad deals, Brother Bob, in my life. I mean, I made a lot of bad choices.
Didn't make too many good ones, but that day I made the best choice that I ever made in my life. Amen. When he knocked and I opened, and he came in, sure. Oh, I wouldn't trade Jesus for nothing this morning. I wouldn't trade Jesus for the biggest, beautifulest mansion up on the biggest hill in Adair County or Tennessee or nowhere else. I wouldn't trade him for the biggest houseboat over here on the lake. I wouldn't trade him for the biggest bank account down here in Columbia. I wouldn't trade Jesus because I don't need all of them things. But I do need Jesus this morning. You don't need all them things, but you do need Jesus this morning. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Which one are you following this morning? Which one are you following this morning? Would you stand with me this morning? With head bowed, eyes closed for just a minute. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to come in? Allow the Holy Spirit to come in right now. They sang a song and listened to it. Go ahead, Sister Janet. You need to come and pray. Come on. You've tried everything else. Why don't
just
you try
Jesus? Suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for his call, Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
We pray for her dad, we pray for her mom this morning, God, her eldest, Lord. And we just lift them up before you, God, and we pray for this family today, God. It's been.
But I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. And I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels, but from my hands he pulled the nails that torment me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus,
oh yes, his name is Jesus,
then forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
If it not been for Jesus, where would you be at today? Would you be seated? We're going to ask the young lady and her husband, his mom and dad to bring the baby up, and grandparents can come if you'd like, stand with them. We're going to do a dedication here, and then we got a couple that's going to come in and join the church here today. So Casey and Brooklyn here bring this beautiful, beautiful little angel here this morning in dedication to the Lord. We're going to dedicate her at this time. He says his children were welcomed by Jesus, so they are welcome as a part of this congregation. As a new member of a family in this body, they are an integral part of this church. They are receptives of its blessings and missions and experience its fellowship and tradition. As parents bring their little ones in presentation to the Lord, we covenant as a congregation to surround the child and the family with the support of the people of God. And it's right today, parents publicly commit themselves to provide a home in which their child or children will grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and where he or she, they will learn of Christ and his ways and be encouraged to receive him as Savior and Lord. Parents are the child's primary pastor and greatest influence for good and righteousness. So the Bible says in Matthew 18:10, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of their Father in heaven." The Bible said in Proverbs 22:6, it says this, "Train up a child in the way it should go, and when it grows old, it will not depart from it." And I can assure you, parents, that word of God is true. So, Almighty God, Casey and Brooklyn, God has given y'all this precious little child, right? This is a gift to you from God. Do you now present your child before God in dedication? So answer yes, we do. Is it your purpose to bring up your child in the ways of the Lord? If so, answer it is. Yes. Will you continue to love each other and the child God has given you so that he or she, in this case a she, will experience the meanings of true trust and grace? If that's so, will you answer, we will. Mm-hmm. Will you endeavor to provide a Christian home and atmosphere for your child? Will you teach him or her in the Christian faith and way? Surround him or her with Christian influences through the church and other relationships, and encourage, in this case, her to faith in Jesus Christ when she is older? If so, answer, with God's help, we will.
With God's help, we will.
Okay. Okay, that's
Riley.
So, Riley, we're your pastor and your parents before this congregation. We dedicate you to God and to the services of His kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's his name again?
Riley.
Riley, we have dedicated you to the Lord for the calling and service. God helping us, we promise to bring you up in the ways of the Lord. We will help you to know Jesus as your Savior, and we will seek to model the Christian walk before you. In recognition of this dedication of your child, I'll present to you, I don't touch it. I forgot to tell